Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, in the very providence of God, as we work our way through these Proverbs, our text today is for fathers on this Father's Day. And of course, fathers bear the load of leadership and faithful service in family, in work, and of course, in our church. Now, men of leadership are wanted, but where are they? That is one of the cries of this generation. Where are the men of leadership? Now, to be a Christian man in leadership will require discernment, godly wisdom, and the definite leading of the Lord. As to this Proverbs chapter 3, Matthew Henry said that this chapter is one of the most excellent in all of this book, both for argument to persuade us to be religious and for directions therein. So if you're looking for direction, this is the passage that you should turn to, and these are the promises that you should claim. Now let's do a little quick bird's eye view of these verses that we just read. Verses 1 to 4, we must be constant in our duty, because that's the way to be happy. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace. So for a happy life, here is the word. Then verse 5, we must live a life of dependence upon God, because that's the way to be safe. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. And when we began this book of Proverbs, we set out by saying, we as parents and grandparents don't want to see our children make the mistakes that we made. If we can be a finger post and say, let's get away from that black pit hole that will bring you such misery in your life, well, we want you to be steered in our right direction. Now, when you move to verse 7, you'll say that we must keep up the fear of God, because that's the way to be healthy. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel. And then verses 9 and 10, we must serve God with our estates, because that's the way to be rich. If you really want to be rich, you will take the position as a steward of all that God gives you, and then you will use it for his kingdom, and that will make you truly rich. Now, today we're looking at the matter of trusting in the Lord, and we're calling this sermon Total Trust for Clear Directions, and we'll take verses 5 and 6 as our text. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, these are well-known verses, but I think they are too little obeyed. This is one of the preacher's dread, that when you announce a text that it's so familiar, it's so well known, that people just go to sleep. There is nothing here that might do me any good because, well, I've memorized it, I've thought about it before, and what could there be different here? Well, to help us, I want us to use a life illustration in the life of King Hezekiah. You may know that King Hezekiah, as king of Judah, was one of the very best kings. He was a man of prayer. He was a man that God blessed him with a long reign. He was a true godly leader and knew how to obey this text. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So, let's put a finger in 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18, and the example in his life is from verse 5 through to 7. All right, 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 5. Now, we won't have to read very far to recognize that this is a prime example of what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is about. You read here, 2 Kings 18, verse 5, he trusted in the Lord. That was King Hezekiah. Now, that's going to be our example, and I want you to keep your finger or a marker or double up the pages or do something, because we're going to come back to this example a number of times here today. Because sometimes we learn better by example than we do just by a verbal instruction. When you see it practiced in someone's life, and you can say, well, there is a man who trusted the Lord, and see how he did it and how God blessed him for it, then we will profit. Now, the book of Proverbs is the book of profit. It's the book that is to make us wise, make us spiritual, to make us prosperous in a biblical, godly way, to avoid those pitfalls that will do us great harm, and we will greatly gain and learn the lesson of the Lord's way to profit us. Every time I preach, Katie cries. Doesn't always cry, but every time I preach, Katie cries. It seems to be the response I get from her. I don't hope that's not going to be true for everybody here today, that you're not crying on the inside as we preach these things here today. In our generation, many people are looking for direction. There is undoubtedly a great lack of leadership in this land. And there are great questions, ethical questions, questions for a world that is at war, where there is riot and rebellion on the streets of so many nations, people that are angry and bitter and respond in various ugly ways. And of course, these are political questions. How can man govern himself? And that is an age-old question. And why are there still millions here in Canada and the United States that are in poverty? The richest nations in the world, and yet with such a diversity of prosperity, that there are people that do not know where their next food or meal is going to come from. There are people living and dying on streets just because of the struggle of life. And why are thousands in our streets dying with opioid drugs? The projection is that it's going to get worse before it gets better. The numbers that are predicted to die in the United States in the year to come are in their multi-thousands. This is a strange, strange thing in our land. Usually these events, they come an earthquake by surprise, or a volcanic eruption, or some event that takes man by total blind, cannot see it coming. But when people predict that these many thousands are going to die in the next 12 months or so, we wonder what has gone wrong that people go that direction. And then there are the various cyclical questions of life. School, career, work, marriage, children, retirement, and death. Am I ready for eternity? All of these phases of life require decisions. And these decisions are too big for us because we don't have all the answers. And so how wonderful it is in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that we are given this advice. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, Christians have been doing this for centuries. In every generation, men and women have come to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. They have learned the secret of trusting in the Lord. I want you to learn that secret. I want you to be a Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 believer so that you will also have the Lord's promise in your life. Now, firstly, let's take a look at this and notice the extent of trust that is required. It says in this verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is more than lip service. It's more than just saying in the middle of the week, well, I went to church on Sunday, this should go well for me. This is more than just doing your duty and saying, well, I had a thought about that, and maybe I had a little prayer about that, and that's all I need to do. No, I think you will see here that this is a matter of surrender. I'm certain that as I look into your face today, that there is something pressing in your life that's calling you to surrender. It's not just you to do your own thing. It's not just you to go your own way. But as a Christian and your spirit, the Lord's witness in your own heart, sometimes we call that conscience, but if it's the Lord convicting, it really is the voice of the Lord in your soul, and he is calling you to surrender on this issue. That's what's called for here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then it goes on to say in the next verse, in all thy ways, in all thy ways. A Christian, of course, trusts the Lord in every detail of life. We're to trust the Lord with our soul. That's salvation. And you might say, well, that's why I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to be saved. I want to have a Savior that will present me one day to God the Father, spotless, ready for heaven. That's why I'm a Christian, because the Lord will take care of my soul. But then, how to give account of the judgment seat? That takes it a step further. And the decisions that you make as a Christian, remember that one day we give account. Every word, every deed, indeed the idle words, we will give account. And so therefore we need to do the right thing in the right way. What about our souls in times of earthly trouble, when you're tempted, when you feel the devil's attack, when you feel so empty, when you feel so confused, do you trust in the Lord in all your ways? What about your weaknesses, your phobias? And we're all different in that area. The thing that I fear and the thing that you fear may be very different, but we have fears. Where do we take those fears? What about our finances? And these are days of struggle for many people to pay their bills and make sure they live within their means. And then there's our health. In all our ways, we are told to trust in the Lord. What about when we lose our wallet? I can't find it. Maybe I left it somewhere and it's been taken. What do you do? Surely if we're going to trust the Lord in the great big issues as salvation of our souls, we need to be able to trust the Lord with the little tiny issues, like where we lost our keys or our wallet, or how we're going to pay that bill. Some people have a thought, and I can understand it, that it's selfish to pray about little things when there are multitudes of people dying with hunger in the world. In Sudan, Yemen, various other countries where there is drought and war. And here I am asking the God of heaven to help me with the little minutiae of life, and all the while the world is in such trouble. Would the God of heaven have any interest in hearing my cry and my little need in my particular hour? That thought coming to you might say, well, it's wrong to pray for that. It might even be the devil's suggestion to keep you from praying over that. And I think the answer is given to us in the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord, speaking about the lilies and the birds of the air, and he taught his people to be not anxious of the morrow. Take no thought of the morrow. And he went on to talk about every hair on our head is numbered. And for some that's a bigger task than others. And that every sparrow that falls, the Lord sees. And he went on to say, of how much more value are ye? And if our Father takes care of the falling sparrow, will he not take care of you? And so it is right. And it is glorifying to God whenever we bring our needs, our cares, and our burdens unto him. And in doing so, we are obeying that command about seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, are you doing that? Are you doing that? This now is where truth becomes application. Where the preacher not only says what's right and wrong from the Bible, but now closes the matter in your life. The decisions, the things that are troubling you, are you willing to take them to the Lord and trust the Lord with all thine heart in all thy ways? Now, if we're honest, we'll probably say, well, I do it in that area, but I don't always do it in that area. And there comes the struggle. Matthew Henry, I call on him again to help us. He said, we must serve God with our estates because that's the way to be rich. And he was talking about what's said down there in verse 9 and 10 about honoring the Lord with our substance. Now, if God takes note of the percentage of our estates and he sees how we honor the Lord, he notes everything. And we see that he's interested in everything. So never let the thought enter your mind and deter you from prayer and bringing your little needs to the Lord. Because in reality, what can be little in relation to the problems of the wars of this world, they are the things that will make you either godly or denying that the Lord is your shepherd. When you bring them to Him, praying for guidance and help, you honor Him. You exalt Him. When you say, oh, the Lord wouldn't be interested in that, and you handle it on your own, then we deny the Lord the very place that He wants to have within our hearts and within our lives. Now, that's the extent to which we should trust the Lord in all our ways and with all of our hearts. But now notice the examination required. It says, lean not to thine own understanding. And we have to examine the tendency of trusting our own thinking, trusting our own experience. And we are all in need of correction on this because, well, our understanding is flawed and we are fallible. We're prone to mistake. And we have to learn to distrust ourselves and put our trust in the Lord. And I think that everyone would agree that this is certainly true of the unconverted man, the person who's not a Christian. He's rebellious to God. He will not pray about it. He will not bring it to the Lord. But it must also be said about the Christian. It must also be said about the person who says, the Lord is my Savior, that we are still prone to lean to our own understanding. We know that the Pharisees in Jesus' day, well, they were so self-absorbed that they missed the message. And that's the danger, becoming so self-absorbed, unable to see the big picture because we're so wrapped up in the situation ourselves. We trend, of course, to trust in what worked before. And that's why the older Christian is no safer than the younger Christian. Because the older Christian says, well, when I was in that situation 10 years ago and I did that and it worked out this way, I'll do it again. And you begin to lean on your experience and not on the Lord. And you begin to trust in your savvy instincts, in your own ability, and in your own past successes and different situations. And even for the more mature Christian, the mums, the dads, the grandparents that are here, we have to take heed to this, not to lean upon our own understanding. We must also examine the methods by which we acknowledge the Lord. You'll notice there in that verse 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. How do you do that in real terms? A quick prayer. Someone runs into the prayer meeting or to their prayer closet and 2 minutes later they run out. I got the answer. They just prayed very briefly. Or a quick Bible verse. You know, you've got a decision to make. You've got a thing to answer and you've got a thing to sort out. And you just flick through your Bible. There's a verse. I'll do that. Is that how we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways? If we do that, then we're not much better than people who read the tea leaves in the cup. And they say, well, that looks like that picture, I'll do that. No, we as Bible students and as men and women of prayer, we must learn that the Lord leads by careful study of the Word. If you've got a big decision to make, read your Bible more than ever. If you've got something to cry to the Lord for, pray more often. pray that matter through. Do not do so in a very light, cursory manner. This word acknowledge, it means to learn, to study. To study the Lord. Acknowledge Him. Well, remember that He's holy. And a holy God would never want me to do that. God is wise. And if He says it in the Bible, He knows better than me. So I'll trust Him in what He has said in His Word. God is good. And if this is His will, even though I may not particularly like it, if this is God's will, and He's good, always good, as we learn from our friends in Liberia, God is good all the time, then we trust Him for what He knows and what He says. Now, I want to go back to Hezekiah, because Hezekiah is a great example of the king who trusted the Lord. And if you go back with me here to 2 Kings 18, verse 5, you will see that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. But how did he do it? That's the question. How did he do it? So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So he is an outstanding example. But how did he do it? Verse 6, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. So there is the manner in which Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. He clave to him. We would put it in our language, he clung to him. He stayed really close to the Lord. And in our all things and in our daily decisions, we need to have nothing between us and the Lord. No unconfessed sin, no barriers, nothing that's breaking the communication line between us and God. We need to live really close to Him, to cling to Him, and depart not from following Him. Are you doing that? Because that's how you trust Him. That's in real terms how you trust in the Lord, and then keep His commandments. Now, that is in total keeping of what we learn in Proverbs. Let's go back to chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And so we are a people of the book. We are a people of God's word. And we do not trust the Lord in some abstract, mysterious manner. We obey the book. We obey the commandments, the law of the Lord. We take that to heart and we claim the Lord's guidance and the Lord's help in all of those decisions. And of course, in that way, we are delivered. Now, one more thing and we're done. We must also examine that we acknowledge the Lord only. You see, the subtlety of the heart is to state that we trust in the Lord and then we lean on our bank account. Then we rest on the figures that are on the spreadsheet. And then we rest on projections of whatever else is going to develop. You'll notice in verse 3 of Proverbs, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Now, that is like a chain, a gold chain that would be placed around someone's neck. And it's like a wedding ring. It's the mark that I'm committed. It is the mark that this is the only one to whom I am wedded. And when Solomon is saying to his son, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck. That's commitment. That's proclaiming, publishing, making it known. I'm trusting in the Lord only. And that's the way to blessing. That's the way to victory. So we throw away our idols. We throw away everything else that we trust in, everything that we might lean on, and we look to the Lord. And I hope that you will be like Hezekiah. The Lord was with him. And we know of all the great things that God did through the life of Hezekiah. So fathers, to be leaders, be a Christian who follows Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And we know that he will not fail you. He will be with you.